Brothers Murph Battle Royale Christmas movies this winter shall determine which movies on top. The favorite of Santa's workshop,
the ultimate podcast pits. Elf against Claus, Scrooge against Hans.
Will Ralphie come on top with Christmas story?
Or George Bailey step in to steal the glory?
Murph against Murph, tune in to see. You'll have to hear who it will be.
Murph against Murph, tune in to see. You'll have to hear who it will be.
Murph against Murph, punches people in the face. This is a Christmas must hit.
Oh snap, it's that time. Oh my god, it's finally here.
It's fired up. It's time for the Brothers Murph Battle Royale Christmas Edition.
I really can't do the whole podcast
Christmas
that way.
Special. Yeah, trying to talk like this would get really
first old. Movie is... Okay, so welcome, you guys. We're so excited. This has been so long in the making, I just can't even contain myself.
Like, literally, I think when we first thought of starting doing this podcast, this idea came up, and we've been working on it passively and then very, very actively.
For at least for 3 months.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So if this bombs, we're done. No, it's fine. It's going to be great. So we have an awesome Christmas movie tournament ready to go for you guys. Okay, so this is going to be a 4-episode. Settle in. It's going to be a 4-episode tournament, Battle Royale style, about trying to determine the best Christmas movie ever. I think that's our goal, right, guys?
Yep.
Yeah, totally.
Yep. It stems from all of us having an intense love of Christmas movies. And
I think it's a part of everybody's childhood. You all, you know, and we have different movies, which we'll see here, but everyone has some movie that they watch with their family every year, or that's on TV at the same time every year. Something that really kind of marks the holiday season for you. So we want to figure out which one's better so we can destroy your childhoods.
Yes.
Yeah,
because yours will not be the best.
I've been so excited for this tournament that I got right into everything and with a fervor, and we haven't even introduced ourselves. So we have 4 combatants in this tournament.
4 gladiators.
4 gladiators.
It is the Hunger Games of Xmas movies.
Yes. So the 4 competitors are going to be myself, Michael Lee Murphy.
I'm Nick Murphy.
Casey Brown.
And Dylan White here.
Yeah. Bring the fire. All right. So we are going to be the 4 contestants in this tournament. So we decided we wanted to set up 8 movies. Now we know there are a lot more Christmas movies than
that. It's like 10.
So do forgive us when you're like, I can't even believe they put this thing on there. We can't do this forever.
And trust me, if we did you a disservice by not adding your Christmas movie, you better let us know.
Tweet
at us.
Let us know.
Facebook us.
Please post offensive things to us on Facebook.
Yes, please. That's all we've been waiting for. You made it.
Just come on there and go like, you stupid idiots. You don't even know what sort of Facebook movie this is. This is getting away from me. I'm kind of delusional right now, guys.
Truth.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to get right to it. But again, we have 8 movies that are all important to us.
Yes.
You know, these are movies that are, you know, some classics, some newer classics, old, but they're all movies that were part of our experience. So we want to talk about those first. So we have 8 movies going on. The 4 of us will each have 2 movies to start. We're going to have 2 quarterfinal rounds. And in this quarterfinal level, our movies are competing against our own other movies. So my 2 movies are going to go against each other, and whichever one ends up with a higher grade, and we'll get into the grading system, that movie will move into the semifinal. So we'll each have 1 semifinal movie, and then we're going to have a finale, which is going to be a crazy debate with 2 people to a team to determine 1 Christmas movie. There can be only 1, you guys.
Yeah. And when we say determine Christmas movie, we mean which movie is the Christmassiest Christmas movie, not necessarily
absolutely
the best actors or the best you know, plot or the best production value. It's which one is just Christmas to its core.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good kind of segue into how we determine, because one of the main things is we wanted to try to be as objective as possible, because again, we all have our favorites, which we all brought some of our favorites.
Sure.
But then it just becomes kind of a screaming match of like, well, I like mine more. Well, I like mine more. And it's just like, And that's not productive.
Is that someone aggressively agreeing? Yeah, yeah. I like yours the best.
You are better than me.
Tournament over.
But it's just like, and so we're trying to make it as objective as possible. So we spent the last month or two trying to find like a rubric of like, right, every Christmas movie should have this, this, this. And we actually printed one out that we will be posting. And so you can actually go along with your Christmas movies or look at our rubrics and tell us if it's crap or if it's great.
Right.
But certain things might be like snow or Santa, like Santa generally is in Christmas movies. And sure, so we have a rubric of around 35, 45, somewhere in there, points. And as we watched our movies, we checked them off to see whether or not, so for the, whether or not they met that part of the rubric. So for the first quarterfinal, it's just as objective as possible, kind of, because we're all going to try to argue points about like, well, absolutely, actually it does meet this point.
But we do all have a base score based on the rubric we've all agreed upon, mm-hmm, that we're going into this with. So absolutely, we have our base score. We'll argue for extra points where we see fit. But, you know, it is very much like Nick said, just what you would expect in a Christmas movie. Is there a fireplace? Is there a Christmas tree decorating?
Carolers,
yeah, sure, you know, that kind of stuff.
Any movie, any Christmas movie worth its salt will have a good number of these items. Some are very small, some are a little bit bigger, yeah, but it's, you know, if you ain't got Santa, you ain't got Christmas, okay? Get out of here, all right? So that's basically the idea of the rubric, is we're going to try to be as objective as we can about something that is completely subjective. Tough task.
Yes. Yeah.
So should we get into what movies we're going to have?
Sure.
Yeah.
So again, we're going to have 8 movies total, 2 movies each. Let's just go around the room really quickly and talk about just what 2 movies we're going to have, and then we'll get into the first 4 movies, so 1 each, okay? So for me personally, the 2 movies I'm going to argue for the tournament are The Santa Claus and It's a Wonderful Life.
Tough contenders. Yeah. I have
maybe for you,
A Christmas Story and Scrooge.
Good ones.
I am bringing Elf and My wild card, The Hebrew Hammer.
Sweet.
And I am bringing my favorite Christmas tradition movie of all time, Die Hard. And Die Hard, the movie I just rewatched delusionally on the plane today, Love Actually.
Boom. Dylan had a last second replacement, dark horse contender, Love Actually, yes, which we had already gotten flack about not having in the tournament.
True. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dylan went through some existential crisis, you know, several feet above the air in a plane, and watched Love Actually and said, I have to do this movie. So I'm really excited.
I cried on the airplane today watching, yes, that kid chase through airport security.
Now, I want to make, yes, sure you've seen it before, right? That it wasn't,
oh,
just
course,
like your,
of course.
Okay,
yeah,
I was,
yeah,
making,
I,
sure that your, I, first viewing and you're like, this is the greatest movie ever.
That is, yep, what everyone thinks when they first watch Love Actually.
Sure. I have been there with you, Dylan, crying on airplanes watching that movie. So I cry on every movie, though. So
that's on me, too.
Not a good metric. Way,
yeah. Beautiful. Well, guys, I want to get into this. I can wait no longer. So, yeah, for the first episode, for quarterfinal part one, we're all going to argue one of our 2 quarterfinal, yes, movies. So the 4 movies that we've selected for this first episode are going to be My Santa Claus, Casey's Christmas Story, Nick's Hebrew Hammer, and Dylan hopefully will cry again trying to explain why Love Actually is the best Christmas movie of all time. So that's,
like, there's a very good possibility that I might actually cry. Yeah.
I'd love it. I'd love it. That, you'd probably get points. I mean, if you can make yourself weep about its majesty, you know, all that, that's going to be great.
I'll throw a point at that.
So those are going to be the 4 movies, you guys. So let's get right into this rubric, okay? The first item that we have is,
wait, but what if someone's never seen the movies?
Okay, all right.
I just want to be able to explain it
fair
for
enough,
like a minute.
Again, I'm so excited, guys.
Love
I can't even see.
Is about, I'm assuming it's about,
okay,
farming sheep.
Are you joking?
No, I've seen.
Oh, okay.
He's lying
so
through his teeth. You're lying through
I
your
got
teeth, but it's okay.
Horrible stares.
Dylan will explain, and Nick will be able to play along. So, okay, I'll explain. Thank you, Casey. I'll explain very briefly The Santa Claus. I think this is a movie that a lot of people our age grew up with. Certainly is my personal favorite, the one that I grew up with. Santa Claus came out in 1994. It's directed by a man named John Pasquin. It stars Tim Allen, mm-hmm, right in the height of Tim, you know, Home, yeah, Improvement,
mm-hmm,
like, you know, fervor. So it's got Tim Allen, Judge Reinhold, Wendy Crewson, David Krumholtz, who I'm going to talk about later. And it's the story of Scott Calvin, who's Tim Allen. He's, you know, kind of like a businessman who's just schmoozing and boozing and kind of has lost his way. And through an unfortunate accident, he kills Santa and then assumes the role of Santa. And it goes through the whole next year where he's trying to deny who he truly has become. And in the process of that, he kind of learns the true spirit of Christmas through some help from his son and becomes a Santa Claus. So it's all about those shenanigans.
Okay, so Christmas Story, probably everybody has seen, excluding Nick, because he's a weirdo.
I've seen like 3/4 of it.
I know. You sleep through the end. But a Christmas Story, so this movie came out in 1983, directed by Bob Clark, who directed Porky's and Black Christmas, so an interesting resume for him. Stars Peter Billingsley as a young Ralphie, Oscar-nominated Melinda Dillon, Darren McGavin. And so it goes through Ralphie's life, and it's based off of Gene Shepard's short stories. So Gene Shepard does the narration, and it goes off through Ralphie's life of different Christmas happenings that have gone through this one kind of 1940s era set Christmas vignettes of different life events and family events that happened to him, and all in the pursuit of getting a genuine Red Ryder BB gun.
Beautiful.
It's true. All right. I will be bringing the Hebrew Hammer to this one. The Hebrew Hammer is not necessarily a Christmas movie as it is so much a Hanukkah movie, but there's a lot of Christmas in it.
He's taking Hanukkah back.
Yeah, because Christmas is trying to destroy Hanukkah. It's the first and probably only Jewsploitation film, as it's called.
Oh, my God.
That's true. That's what they call it. That's not my words. So it was made a release in 2003. It was actually a Comedy Central movie. Like, they released it on Comedy Central's channel, and then it got a worldwide release, and then it's you can buy it on DVD and stuff now. But so it's kind of a TV movie, but whatever. It stars Adam Goldberg, Judy Greer, and Andy Dick. It was directed by Jonathan Kesselman. So the general, like, plot of the Hebrew Hammer is there's this guy named Mordechai Jefferson Carver, who is Adam Goldberg, and he's the Hebrew Hammer. He's like a tough, badass Jew, kind of like a Shaft.
He's a like Jewish thing. Shaft.
And he has his own, like, theme song that's very Shaft-like, and it's really awesome, because he's saving people in the hood, you know, and it's just great. So he's out and he's just doing his Hebrew Hammer stuff. And Andy Dick is Santa Claus's son. And Santa Claus in the beginning of the movie has really worked to, like, bring Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and Christmas together and have them not fight anymore and just be like, hey, we're all cool, like, we're all great. But Andy Dick doesn't want that. So he kills his father, and then he becomes Santa Claus because he's next in line. And his whole goal is to destroy Hanukkah. And so that's the movie. It's him trying to destroy Hanukkah by finding the Jewish atomic clock that's fueled by Judaism.
Wait, this is what the Hebrew Hammer is about?
Yeah.
Yes. It's amazing.
This and
it's
is available the most batshit insane plot ever. Yeah.
And that's why it's great.
Yeah, it's okay. Great.
Nick and I are not on the same team, but since we're not competing directly for this episode, I'm going to try to get you as many points as you can. I love that movie.
It's great. It's so great. And then, you know, the Hebrew Hammer teams up with Kwanzaa and they go take down Santa Claus, and it's wonderful. It's just such a great movie.
It's an eye-opening film for sure. So Dylan, you've got Love Actually. What's that all about?
Yes, so I have Love Actually. It was made in 2003. I said that weird. 2003 by it was made in 2003 by Richard Curtis, who might know. He directed Notting Hill. And also the greatest, saddest episode of Doctor Who ever, Vincent and the Doctor, if you know that one. It stars all of your favorite British actors. Literally all of them are in this movie. I mean, we're talking like Colin Firth and Hugh Grant and Keira Knightley and Bill Nye and Jesus Christ, I can't even...
Alan Rickman
is in this movie.
Forever.
By the way,
Rick from The Walking Dead.
By the way, I know he's not on our Christmas rubric, but I'm just going to throw out, you can't have a Christmas movie without Alan Rickman. Boom. Die Hard, Love
just
Actually.
You're both
absolutely.
Damn, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Hey, both of his. If you can argue it, you get
exactly. But what the film is about is love and the different relationships we have and everyone coming together for the holidays. And there are old relationships and new relationships and cute relationships and kind of creepy relationships if you actually examine them as well. and there's a widower trying to raise his son when and trying to teach his son how to love when he himself is damaged. And we see love break through cultural barriers and language barriers as well. And love in defiance of political scandal. And even young love breaking through the 9/11 war on terror hysteria and making a big run for past airport security. And this is a movie where there's a place for everyone. There's even a place for an octopus at the birth of Jesus. And that's kind of what love actually is all about. And
beautiful, man.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what I love, man.
Damn.
That's Christmas love, actually.
I love, guys.
Feels it in his fingers.
He feels it in his toes.
Damn, that's good. Okay, it's great. He plays a pop star in it. He's like a one-hit wonder guy. Anyway, he's so good. Okay.
Mike's just going to argue everyone else's movie.
Until the semifinal, then claws are out. And I'm going to try to take your movie apart. But for now, I'm just a fan of cinema, guys. So, okay, yeah, true. Casey, can we get in the rubric now? Have I missed anything?
Yes.
I'm ready. I'm Jack. I got about two fingers of eggnog here with me, and I'm ready.
Riding high on it. Okay. So, the rubric, which we will be posting so that you can judge your movies mercilessly from now on, will be available online to check out on all our forms of social media. First item, this is got to be on there. Snow. Is there snow and falling snow? Do we all have snow of some kind in our movie?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Do you not?
No.
All right, Nick, you're out. Get out of here.
Okay. It's apparently taking place in New York during the winter, and there's no snow.
I thought that was like a given. I was going to be like, hey, we're going to get some points for
that. I know. I was like, there's no snow.
How about a Christmas tree? Do we all have Christmas trees somewhere?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Wait. Pause on Christmas trees. So what? Also decorating Christmas trees. We got a bonus for decorating, and I have a great decorating scene of like 1940s tinsel. But I think I have the only movie where they actually go and pick out a Christmas tree from a Christmas tree lot in this grouping.
Okay.
And so I think that that deserves some maybe extra love.
Okay, I have
extra love in the form of points?
Yeah, in the
how
form
about
of
a pat on the back?
How about a half a point?
A swift, you know, little punch on the shoulder, like attaboy.
How about 0.5 points?
0.5?
I'll take a half.
Decimals?
I think I should deserve a half a point for actually picking out the tree they're decorating.
Counter. Because if you're going to get an extra point for looking at a tree in a store, I'm going to get an extra point because a Santa Claus does not actually show people decorating trees, but there's a whole scene where they're flying over the town, going from house to house, delivering presents. And dude, every single tree in the neighborhood, I'm talking outside, just rando nature trees, has Christmas lights on them.
Yeah,
everyone. So we don't see them decorating, but the sheer amount of decorated trees gives me a point. If I get a point, you get a point. Deal?
Okay, hold on.
Hold on. Are we just going to haggle for points now? Is that how it's going to work?
Yes, that's how we're doing this. Because we're making this objectiveness completely subjective. So I got Jewish people decorated Christmas tree because it's that one part where the Hebrew hammer is driving through town and like after all the Jews watch It's a Wonderful Life and start converting to Christianity, they're like singing Christmas carols and like decorating trees. So it's very quick, but I get that point, right?
No.
Why not? They're decorating a tree. There's a
that hits the baseline. No, you don't get an extra point.
You just get the bonus for decorating.
This is a different religion. Decorating.
Christmas Story never discusses what religion they're in.
Coming together.
So my movie takes religion out of it.
Are you trying to say that because they're Jews, you should get an extra point?
Yes, that's exactly what he's saying.
Look, okay, this is not a very good Christmas movie, so I got to get points where I can, okay?
I'm going to say you get the 1 point for showing.
I get the bonus for decorating. I don't care. Whatever.
You get a bonus for a decorated tree, but you don't get a bonus on the bonus is what we're saying.
Yes.
This is a fascist.
Do I get my bonus for the amount of decorated trees?
What do you think? I think so.
I'm going to give it to you. Okay. Actually, you know what? I also have to say, I am inspired by the idea of different religions coming together as well.
I want to give
a little extra point to Nick. I think you actually convinced me.
Wait. We can't go giving Nick points. This is why. They're brainwashed into wanting to decorate a Christmas tree. That's not Christmas-y.
Oh, never mind.
Taken away. Man. You get the one. You get the bonus for a decorated tree being shown. That's it. Fine.
Okay, next up, carolers. I got that.
I got carolers. Yes. Do y'all have carolers?
Because those corrupted Jews are singing at one.
I have a really interesting postmodern reflection of carolers, where the sound of caroling is actually used as a distraction to Mr. Nice Guy Bro's confession of silent love for Keira Knightley.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's a weird scene, man. That's a weird scene.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Especially when she's like getting with Chiwetel Ejiofor, who's amazing.
No, yeah, exactly. No, that like that's definitely one of the weird relationships I alluded to in the opening description.
Okay,
that's
Santa
why that
Claus?
Guy goes on to fight zombies.
Yep.
Santa Claus?
In
do
the
we
movie?
All have do we all have Santa Claus? My movie's called The Santa Claus. Weirdly, no Santas. Nowhere.
Not one.
So I don't
literally
have
the whole base of my plot.
Now, how many people does your Santa Claus kill? I think I should get an extra point per person he kills.
Because we each have one.
No, your Santa Claus dies.
Depends on how you look at it.
How many does Tim Allen kill himself?
Inadvertently?
One.
That's manslaughter, at least.
Yeah.
While he was Santa Claus.
I would argue the fact that Tim Allen does become Santa when he kills Santa. So technically, the Santa Claus does have Santa Claus killing someone. It just happens
to... You're talking about how deadly is Santa Claus, or how many Santas are killed?
How deadly is that man?
I don't think that contributes to the Christmasiness of a movie at all.
It's not one of the true virtues of Christmas is how violent your Santa is. Get out of here with it.
I think that's a different rubric.
Does anyone not have
if
a Santa
was,
Claus steak
I would have
otherwise?
Just picked rare exports and would have won there.
It's true.
Rare
Dylan,
exports
is there
is
a Santa Claus
movie.
In Love Actually?
There is not, but there is a drunken, washed-up rock star that dresses as Santa Claus.
That counts,
that's fine.
Right? Yeah.
You get the bonus if your main character wears a Santa suit.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yes.
That's points right there.
Okay.
That's points in the bank.
Okay, so let's go to our next one. What about kids? That's always in Christmas movies. Anybody got, there's kids in my
Charlie
movie.
Literally is the one that helps Tim Allen see the truth in him as Santa. He's huge for me. So
and you
for
get
sure
a
points.
Bonus if your main if one of the a kid is like one of the main characters. That's not for me.
That's
Charlie.
Entirely a Christmas story.
Yeah.
Yep. How about you, Dylan? You got churin in yours? There are.
Absolutely. There is the cutest child in mine. Whose name I'm forgetting right now, but he's the one that runs through the airport and breaks down all of our barriers that we constructed right there. When he just leaps
everyone.
Over the security guard at that gate and confesses his undying love for that girl who he kind of likes in middle school. There.
True.
It's such a cute scene.
It's adorable. Showing love young and old. Okay. So we've all for the most part got except for
he
Nick.
Helps repair his father's broken heart as well.
That's true. He's a very central point. So I'd say he counts as a main character. It is an ensemble movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you get 2 points for the kids and main character for a kid.
Woo.
How about things that tend to show up a lot are like flashbacks. Or reminiscences of childhood. Are there any flashbacks in your movies?
That's what reminiscence is.
Are there any flashbacks in your movies?
Yeah. So I have, I think, the greatest flashbacks in any of our movies chosen, because literally the whole movie is Ralphie telling his story in insane fantasy flashbacks and flash forwards of his teacher weeping over how beautiful his essay is, him shooting out burglars because he's got his BB gun finally, him going blind from eating too much soap,
and his parents
sobbing over him.
So, okay, so you're going to count kind of like flights of fancy in the mind as a flashback? Or an element of magic?
I don't think... No. I'm counting it as a flashback and a flash forward. Because he flash forwards to potential futures.
Yeah,
it's
sideways. Well, isn't he telling the story from like when he was like older?
Yes, he has
well.
The whole story.
Like, he's narrating it from like when he's an adult.
But I'm just saying, his flights of fancy. I think they're the best flashbacks.
Yeah,
you
qualify for flashbacks.
I'll take that. Yeah,
I don't have flashbacks, but I do have reminiscing about childhood when they all talk about when they stop believing in Santa. So I got one for that, but I don't have a flashback. True flashback.
I don't either, because the beginning of the movie shows Mordecai as a kid, but it's not a flashback. It's just it shows him as a kid, and then it goes years later, so that's not really a flashback.
I would say that while Love Actually doesn't really have any flashbacks itself, it did cause me to flashback into my younger soul. So,
well, that's beautiful. It's not worth points, but that is a touching moment. So, okay, so we got a little bit of flashbacks. So we have, are there any elements of magic? Because Santa Claus for me is literally everything's magical about everything. There's a magic snow globe. There's magic elves. There's a magic sleigh and reindeer. I mean, that my movie's so Christmassy, it's coming out of its ass. So do you guys have magic in yours?
I want to argue that I got a little bit of magic in the Hebrew Hammer, because Santa's whole thing is he's going to go to travel to Israel and then take over the Jewish atomic clock that runs the Jewish calendar. But that Jewish atomic clock is run by Judaism, which is not real and is really ridiculous. And so I vote. That's magic right there.
I'll allow it.
I'm definitely going to go with that.
Okay, yes. I'm teaming up with Dylan on trying to advocate our movies for points right now. So
yes.
I would argue, I think element of magic is so crucial to a lot of Christmas movies. But I think one of the reasons that Christmas Story and Love Actually are so beloved is because they're so real and relatable. There is no magic in a Christmas Story.
So you don't get the points. Perfect. Cool.
Because we win. People love it because they can look at that and say, that's my family at Christmas time. And I think the same is true for Love Actually. And I think we should get points because we go out of the norm.
Wait, so you get points for...
I would definitely agree.
In no way matching that part of the rubric.
Yeah.
All right, Dylan, that point. What's up?
No, I would say in addition to what Casey just said, maybe real life is the true magic. And that really is the true nature of Christmas.
Dylan,
this is hippy dippy craziness, man. I literally have like flying elves who come and save Santa. Like, that's magic.
Have you seen the leg lamp? It's a magical moment. Have you seen it light up in a window?
Awarded.
No points for you.
Okay, fine.
Nope. Good try, though.
I have a creepy, nerdy, sneery character that somehow ends up with Shannon and Elizabeth at the end of the film. Now, I think that probably counts as magic.
If a leg lamp doesn't count, then that doesn't count.
Nope. That is as close to magic as you guys.
I like
the
real life is magic. That's cute.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
But I'm sorry, Dylan. I tried. Okay.
Living in a
Christmas
movie.
At least you were going for him, too. You'd be like, this is for both of us.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's fair.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you already have someone on your side then. Good call. Good tactic. Right. Didn't work out.
Okay. Let's see. Another one I think is a super, classic or reindeer of some kind. Again, I've got every reindeer but Rudolph named in my movie. So
I have no reindeer in
No reindeer?
No.
Dylan? Reindeer?
Yeah, I don't
anywhere?
Think I have any
Real
reindeer
otherwise?
In my movie. Yeah, there might be some reindeer in Bill Nye's set, but I actually don't remember if there are.
I'm gonna win.
Maybe you aren't. Because, I got reindeer. There's actual just reindeer at one point in the movie. I'm hanging out with Santa. But so when Andy Dick's Santa kills his father, he doesn't actually do the killing. He winks over to the reindeer, get him, boys. And then the reindeer, you only see a silhouette shadow of them, but their antlers turn into machetes. And then they just start cutting down Santa.
What is this
so
movie?
I maintain it's magic is amazing. What it is. So I maintain I get an extra point for having machete reindeer. Machete reindeer, 4 points. Cool.
Wait.
Thanks, Nick. 4 points. Good. Plus four.
Let's say think that plus one is fair for machete reindeer.
Yes. So two total.
One.
What a funny line. I think plus one is fair for machete reindeer.
So you guys can add that to your rubric. If you have machete reindeer, one. You get.
I'm actually willing to give him plus two for machete reindeer. They are. Machete reindeer.
Okay, don't listen.
Dylan's just a master of chaos. He's always give him nine.
Yeah. So two total is what Dylan was saying. Two total, we agree. So Nick, you get
machete reindeer.
What else, you guys? What else shows up a lot in Christmas movies?
It seems to always be because most Christmas or Hanukkah are really, they're usually based around family a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
So what about especially in Christmas movies, there's always like wacky, weird, family shenanigans that are going on, weird stuff, dead stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's all Christmas Story is vignette after vignette of a crazy family or a very real family with a crazy dad and a funny mom who.
But it's pretty shenanigan-y. They don't know how to spell, read fragile and stuff.
They break a leg lamp
That's how you got shenanigans. There's the trying to get the Christmas tree. Now, guys, I've got a little bit outside the box on family shenanigans. Because there aren't comedic setups necessarily, but my whole movie is about a dude transforming physically and mentally into Santa. That's pretty wacky. So I'm gonna go ahead and give myself a point.
That has wacky that family has nothing to do with his family, though.
He literally shaves at one point.
No,
and
that,
then his beard grows
that has
right
a lot
back.
To do with his if family. You, like the rest of the family thinks that he's like screwed up, and it actually ruins his life. Right
and
there.
They say yeah. at one point they're like, "Man, yeah. Scott's pretty wacky right now." I'm gonna give myself a point. Cool. We're all agreeing.
Mike just licked his pen.
Yeah,
yeah, that's him proving.
I'm Action Jackson, ready to rock. Do I get a point or no?
Yeah, I go and dig it.
Yeah.
Yes. Love you guys.
I got it too.
I'm going to say that all of Love Actually is just weird, wacky family shenanigans because they all end up being related to each other.
Especially the one with where he goes to talk to the Colin Firth goes to talk to woo the girl and her dad thinks she's talking about her sister. Sorry, mm-hmm. I just really like that part of the movie when she's like, "You want to marry this one?"
Yes.
Like,
yes.
No, oh, yeah, the one right. in the restaurant.
that's kind of mean, though, but yeah.
Which is okay. really horrible is because he mean. Hasn't even had a conversation with her.
I know. I feel bad now that I just said I like that.
I know
part
that's
a lot.
That's a British. They're all like mean and drama, of course. Yeah. Okay,
but speaking of like funny, wacky family shenanigans. Rivalries show up a lot in Christmas movies.
Sure.
So, what do you guys have rivalries in your movie?
My entire movie is a rivalry: Hanukkah versus Christmas.
That's true. I've got a really good one, and it's Scott Tim Allen's character versus Judge Reinhold, who's like a psychiatrist Neil, and they, you know, Neil is
like
dating,
stepdad, yeah.
is you know now the stepdad to Charlie, and so there's a bit of you know the
snarkiness.
Ex-wife's new guy and some snarkiness back and forth, but in the end they come together, so it's a pretty good rivalry. Plus Judge Reinhold wears some sweet sweaters,
remind
which
me,
I got a point for.
Remind me, Mike, what is the present that he's always won since he was a kid? Wasn't like
he's
a wiener whistle or something like
whistle,
that?
A weenie whistle, yeah.
A weenie
Oscar
whistle,
Meyer,
yeah.
Weenie whistle.
Oscar Mayer weenie whistle that he didn't get when he was three, and that's
it's
when
like literally the
Santa.
Lamest present you could ask for.
I know, Mike. Yeah. That made you stop believing in Santa Claus, dude. Like,
yeah, but he sells that scene though.
Yeah,
like, that's honestly a well acted scene for something really ridiculous. So, are there any?
Do you have that, like, Dylan? Do you have rivalry?
Yeah, well, kind
of.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, like all of love is a rivalry, actually.
Oh my gosh.
No, but I mean, kind of between like Andrew Garfield's character and Chiwetel Ejiofor, like, you know,
Andrew Garfield.
Lincoln.
I was like,
Andrew
he's
Lincoln.
In that movie?
Sorry, yeah. basically could have been.
I was
Andrew
like,
Lincoln.
I just watched that movie.
Andrew Lincoln and Chiwetel Ejiofor. They're like best friends, but like they're rivals in love in a way.
They are.
He doesn't really know that they are because he's all down low about it, but.
And there's also Alan Rickman's whole thing with his wife and his secretary as well.
They're kind of like
rivalry.
Semi-rivalries, but yeah. maybe there's not any big ones, but there are several, so it adds up.
There's also that rivalry between the nerdy guy that goes to America and his friend that like directs porn movies over his decision to move to America.
Okay. That's
fair enough.
That's fair.
The sum of them together.
The sum is greater than the...
So that's three rivalries for me.
That's one point, the small rivalries can add up to one, Dylan. I have an amazing rivalry between Ralphie and Farkas, who is the devil incarnate in a child. He is so evil looking, and it just kind of underscores, I think, my good memorable score point, because as Farkas is introduced, they play Peter and the Wolf by Prokofiev. And Farkas means wolf in Belgium. So it's very clever. And he's evil looking, and Ralphie beats the crap out of him. So it's a great rivalry.
He does literally describe him as having yellow eyes. I mean, it's very descriptive. The rivalry is true.
Yeah.
And Ralphie comes out on top.
Yep.
Okay. Are there any anti-Christmas people? People that are really like just meh about Christmas? Because I have a lot of people that are kind of, in mind, think that Scott's crazy, but none of them are explicitly anti-Christmas.
Yeah.
They're more anti-Santa. But what about you, Dylan? You got like anti-Christmas, like some Scrooges?
Yeah, like Bill Nye's character, Billy Mack, the like washed-up rocker, is totally anti-Christmas. Like he's making the Christmas song, but he doesn't. His heart's not in it. You know, he doesn't care about it. He kind of hates the Christmas thing. For him, it's just an excuse to go like party with like hookers and stuff like that. Until at the end, he finds out that the true person he wants to party with is his lifelong manager there.
But let's think about what the word anti means. It means like against or opposite.
He's more ambivalent.
He's indifferent about Christmas. He's not against Christmas. He's not like the Grinch.
He just knows he can make a buck off it.
What is that one quote? That like the only thing that allows like evil people to do what they do is for good men to do nothing, right there. So
I cannot believe you just tried to use that to justify Billy Mack in Love Actually.
Yes. Yeah.
That kind of swayed me to him. You know what, Dylan? You get a point.
Thank you.
Dylan gets a point.
Yay.
Well, okay, fine. I disagree. I'm going to be that Supreme Court justice who disagrees. I write the dissent. Abstain.
Do you have anybody?
No, I have no one who's anti-Christmas. Everybody's pretty down for the holidays. The whole, I mean,
certainly the whole family.
The beauty of A Christmas Story is that there isn't really a plot. It's more just Ralphie's desire for presents and greed, and
greed,
and you know, family coming together along the way. But
I'd say the mall Santa and the elves are the most anti-Christmas. Yeah. In it. But they're more about just doing the job.
Yeah. You touched on an interesting point in your movie that I think a lot of Christmas movies, at least the ones that we are talking about, lack, and that is diversity.
Yeah, there's no
So on our rubric, we did want to give points if anyone's movies did have diversity, because there's just, it's a whole lot of white people. So how does that play into your guys' movies?
Well, Nick's already... You know, I think pointed out that
taking
he has diversity.
10 points for this one because I have
so
much diversity in my movie. One, it's not even a Christmas movie, so there's already
another section on the rubric about mention of other holidays. So that's okay, so take that out of your argument. That.
Okay, but then again, there is a ton of diversity. There's a lot of different minorities in the movie. Again, there's like Kwanzaa's a big part of it, and so all those people are African American. And so, yeah, there's a real huge amount of diversity.
Sammy Davis Jr. is in the movie.
Yeah, and he's also a Jew, so,
yeah,
in the movie.
So that's like double diversity. I think not 10 points.
I will give you an extra point.
An extra? So how much diversity is in any of your other movies? Except for what? Love Actually.
I've got plenty of diversity.
I have an octopus and a lobster and a Texan in my movie.
But
Dylan does have diversity.
Aren't they all pretty white, though?
She would tell Angie Ford.
She would tell Angie Ford.
Interracial marriage.
You're right.
It doesn't even factor into the plot.
I want to argue diversity for Christmas Story.
How?
Go for that.
In Ralphie's class in 1940 in Indiana, he has like 5 black classmates.
Do they talk?
They talk to their teacher. They give her apples.
Well, if you think about it, it is going back in time and changing history, which is pretty progressive.
Yeah, to a time when there probably wouldn't have been that many kids of color in his class.
Casey, no.
I'm glad giving everyone else one.
Well, okay, Dylan says no, but I'd like for you to show me another movie set in 1940 with an integrated classroom in Indiana. Dylan.
Probably doesn't happen today in Indiana.
Boom. Okay.
Boom.
No, Indiana listeners, we love you. Don't listen to him.
I think Casey gets one because they literally went back and changed history.
You're the deciding vote. You can get 5 points if I get one.
Yeah,
high five
across the room.
Okay, well then I'm getting mine. Okay, so I have the Santa Claus.
Guys,
Mike, you're gonna have to
losing our objectivity.
Yeah, thank you.
10 points.
I have the Santa Claus. It's not a very diverse film, but there are a couple of African-American elves in the background. And then we have my main man, David Krumholtz, leading the charge for all the elves. Now, David Krumholtz, if you couldn't guess, is a Jewish gentleman. But he literally plays his character as like a tough New York Jew. And if that guy is going to North Pole to seek a good job with benefits and he's there cracking the whip and leading it, that's diverse, man. I want my point.
You want a point for Bernard the Elf, who is Santa's head elf.
He's overcoming a lot. He has ascended the ranks of Christmas despite maybe what his own beliefs are because he knows it's for the greater good. He's a good man. He's a hard worker. I want my point.
Is he specifically like Jewish in the movie, or is this
just
something that you're just absolutely making up right here? You're absolute
Jewish
bullshit.
In real life.
Yeah.
listen. They don't need to bring it up. It doesn't need to be a plot point because this movie transcends these issues.
Because
it's
Mike
just
is stereotyping David Krumholtz right now.
He's like, okay, whatever. Whatever. That's why I don't even want it. I don't even need it. It's stupid. That would be nice to you guys. You want to be nice to me at all?
Uh-oh.
Fine.
This could take a turn for the worse.
Yeah. No diversity for me. But I have drunken disorderly conduct in my movies. Does anyone have any drunk shenanigans? We had family shenanigans. Does anyone get liquored up and make a mess?
Okay, what about cocaine fueled?
Okay.
Yes. Because yes, let's go with that.
Eddie yeah. Dick as Santa is meeting a bunch of kids and he's just doing coke on the side.
I think that should count for
that
sure.
Counts.
I surprisingly yeah. for being said family in Indiana in the 1940s, no one really drinks. So okay. I have no drunken disorder.
Dylan, I can't remember. Does anyone get I mean, well, other than Bill Nye sort of always being sauce, does anyone get hammered in your movie and make a mess of things?
I mean, you literally just used my example right there of someone doing that. Other than that, I feel like there is, but I'm just not placing it right now. I think I'll just go with Bill Nye. I mean,
that definitely qualifies. Yeah. I'm fine with that. How about nativity scenes?
Nope.
No, none for you.
Nope.
Okay. None for you.
Mm-mm. Hell yes.
Really? Because I don't have one either. What's yours about?
Mine is the greatest nativity scene on film ever. It is when they go to that elementary school and the prime minister is hooking up with his secretary and there's an octopus and a lobster looking over the birth of the baby Jesus.
Yeah.
And they all just wave and sing a song together. That is That's the nativity beautiful. Scene to end all nativity scenes.
That is pretty...
It has shellfish at the birth of the king of the Jews. It is the most anti-kosher nativity scene you could possibly imagine.
True, yeah, wow. Damn, it's rough. All right, well, you definitely get a point. And weirdly, Among Us, that's the only nativity scene in our four movies.
Okay, so what about... Do you guys have bad Christmas or holiday sweaters in your movies?
Oh, yeah, I brought it up. Neil, lives in those things all the time. And then Tim Allen also is rocking a pretty solid Christmas sweater when he's pretty full Santa. So, yeah.
Andy Dick at one point is wearing a pretty horrendous sweater.
How about you?
Well, I don't necessarily... I mean, it's snowy and cold all the time. But I do want to argue for the point because Ralphie wears the greatest costume, and that is the bunny suit. I think it's a pretty horrendous Christmas gift, and it is an outfit, and it is fully covering his torso area, and it has bunny feet, and I think it should count as a bad Christmas sweater, because he hates it, and everybody hates it except his mom, which is what Christmas sweaters are. Everybody hates them except your mom.
I'll take it.
Because the feet are also like little rabbit faces, it's that ridiculous. I'm with y'all out. Dylan, are you got any objections to that?
No, I have no objection to that at
all. Do you have bad Christmas sweaters?
Literally every single character in Love Actually.
They are.
One point or another.
Yeah, is that poor British style? Either way, you get the point, but yeah.
All right, I want to, just because I'm curious about your guys' movie, we brought this up briefly, the mention of other holidays or other religions. Obviously, mine is technically not even a Christmas movie, so I get the point, but is there any mention of any other holidays in any of yours?
Yeah.
Ralphie
wears an Easter suit and his dad's like, you look like the Easter bunny.
Okay. Point. That counts.
Okay.
Mine is Bernard when they're first kind of wrapping up Tim Allen's first night. He says, you're due back at Thanksgiving. And so that's the only mention of another holiday. How about you, Dylan? Do they mention 4th of July in that very British movie?
Yeah, you know, 4th of July and Thanksgiving are like two holidays that they keep on like falling back to and everything. No, I don't think they mention literally any other holiday. I think that everyone is just completely on board for Christmas the entire time.
Fair enough. Fair. That's pretty good. 3 out of 4 is actually impressive.
Yeah.
Okay. One last thing that I think kind of really does make a Christmas movie a Christmas movie, and that's blatant product placement of some kind. Like in mine, I didn't realize this growing up. This is, you know, how nice, you know, subliminal, but like literally Tim Allen burns the turkey, completely botches making Christmas dinner. So he takes Charlie to Denny's and they're just like, Denny's, it's great. It's always open. Denny's. It's so good.
Yeah, they really do.
They have everything. Denny's. And I was like, okay, so we should all go to Denny's. It's America's Diner. And then also, and this is just smart because it's a Disney movie. Tim Allen makes mention that Charlie's getting the Disney Channel for Christmas. So
very meta.
I'm sure inspired lots of kids to request from their parents that they get the Disney Channel.
That's brilliant.
I had two pretty blatant ones. Do you guys have anything where you're just like, okay, well, there's that product?
Yeah, I have some good 1940s product placement for Red Ryder BB guns, a real gun you can buy.
Basis of the plot, yeah.
And drink your Ovaltine, kids. So that's a big subplot is Ralphie getting his decoder from Little Orphan Annie, and they keep the whole point of the decoder is just to tell him to drink his Ovaltine. So that's my product placement.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yours weaves him right into the story.
Yeah, the whole plot of yours is based around product placement.
It's almost so obvious that you don't notice it.
Mine's, I mean, it's not like quite as blatant as yours, but at one point they have to go try and infiltrate Santa when he's meeting kids at Kmart, and they're like, go to Kmart, and then they show a big old thing of Kmart on the outside.
Okay.
And go inside.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty good. Is there any that you can recall, Dylan?
Like, I feel like that there's, like, for whatever reason, in, like, the airport scene, I recall seeing, like, a lot of, like, Macs and, like, Apple products and stuff.
Okay.
But
it's a little more subtle.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guarantee there is, like, horrific product placement in Love, actually. But other than that, yeah, I just can't really place anything. And, you know, I mean, like, that's the beauty of Love, actually, is that it's just so masterfully done that the product placement is subliminal right there. You just,
oh my gosh.
You know it exists, Dylan, but you just cannot, you cannot perceive it.
You've just been, like, so brainwashed by this day. You're just, like, so on it. I love it. Okay, so again, we want to have a base score. Now, our movies for now are not competing directly against each other. We're competing against our other movies. So we need to have a score for these, and that's what the rubric's all about. So I started with a base score before arguing points of 35, which is pretty solid. I then argued successfully 2 points. I did not get Bernard and diversity. So my adjusted score is now 37. It's going to be up to my other movie to try to top that score to make it to the semifinal. What did you end up with, Casey?
Okay, so I started with a base score of 32.
Pretty good.
And that's argued good. Successfully for a point and a half. So I now have 33 and a half points.
And you can round up if you need to. If it's a tiebreaker.
If it's a tiebreaker, yep.
What about you, Nick?
Heifer Hammer did fine. It got 28 was its base score.
For a non-Christmas movie, that's pretty impressive.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But then I was able to argue my way up with my machete reindeer plus my plus 5 for diversity. It's at 34 now.
Nice.
Okay, Dylan, what kind of score are you rocking? Do you think it will hold?
Yeah, so mine for Love Actually is the base score was at 27. But I argued, I think pretty successfully, that there were 3 rivalries in Love Actually, and therefore that brings me up to 30.
Whatever.
All right. Well, 30, it's still the lowest score among ours, but again, your movie only has to beat your other movie to get to the semifinal. So pretty good scores all. So just a reminder that next week we're going to be arguing our other movies, and then from that we will determine the 4 semifinalists. Okay, yes. So we'll have to keep these scores and we'll rehash that in the next episode. So as you know, with our regular podcast series, which will be airing on Tuesdays throughout this month and indefinitely, we have a regular podcast. We'd like to do a pop quiz. So before we get into the pop quiz, just really want to take a moment to thank you guys for listening, and thanks for listening for an extra day, you know, this every week for this month. It's really awesome. If you guys are liking this Battle Royale, please let us know on forms of social media. But really the best way that you can help the show and let us know how we're doing is to go to iTunes, go to the iOS podcast app or whatever app is dedicated to your device. And there are many, many out there. Give us a review. If you give us 5 stars, let us know with words, hey, I really like this. I really, you know, would love to see this topic. It really helps us out. It helps us show up on all the, you know, searchable engines for all these podcast apps, and really helps get the word out about our podcast. So you can do that. That would be really great. Again, iTunes, the podcasting app for iPhone, any and all apps that are out there. If you could just let us know what you're digging, that would be super, super useful. So thank you so much for that. But we like to do a pop quiz. So we figure, why give that up now? Nope. But we have kind of 4 hosts going on right now instead of one person leading the episode. So we're going to do kind of a round robin speed pop quiz round. We're each going to ask one question, a bit of trivia based on our movie. And then we're just going to go around the room with an answer. Then we go to the next person all the way around the room total. Cool.
Got it.
Yep. Who wants to start the pop quiz?
I will. Okay.
Casey starts the pop quiz.
Start in it. Okay, so from A Christmas Story, the old man, Darren McGavin, who's Rafi's dad, was also very well known for this cult TV show called Kolchak, the Night Stalker, that he starred in, that centered around kind of otherworldly beings, and he was this like steadfast kind of hero of this of the show, and it was like one season, but it's a huge cult hit. Look it up if you don't believe me.
Wow.
And this huge cult hit inspired a very successful TV show of the early 90s. So what is that show?
My guess is going to be Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Saved by the Bell.
Okay.
Epic two.
Or Saved by the Bell.
Okay, I was going to say Saved by the Bell. So.
Okay, then you can ask, I will stick with Buffy, even though it's probably a bit early. Nick has Saved by the Bell. Dylan, I assume it's creature-y. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm going to go with Boy Meets World.
Okay. Okay. We got some weird ones. Okay. I'm sure we're right.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So when I said otherworldly, I meant that it inspired a show that was also otherworldly, maybe other planetary, like The X-Files.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. I forgot. Okay. I knew I was a little late with Buffy.
Buffy made sense. But
yeah, but that's the more.
Your guys didn't.
Hey, I love Saved by the Bell.
So it's otherworldly.
Otherworldly.
Still a great show. Still a great show. Okay. So The X-Files.
Mm-hmm. And inspired by a show starring the old man from A Christmas Story.
Wow. The dad, you mean?
The dad, yeah. He's called the old man if you look him up in IMDb. But
yeah.
He's his old man.
So, Dylan, speaking of your movie, that's a fun, interesting bit of trivia. Do you have a pop quiz question for us based on Love Actually?
I do. So I don't know if you've ever listened to the Love Actually actor's commentary.
I haven't. That sounds awesome.
Sure haven't. You should, because it's absolutely amazing. But Keira Knightley is not on it, unfortunately. And I'm asking, what do you think is the reason that her fellow castmates gave for her not being on the commentary?
Oh, God. See, now I wonder if it's real or if they're like she has, you know, malaria. My guess would be that she was filming something else. So I'll just say that she was shooting Pirates of the Caribbean, one of the movies.
I'm going to say that they said that she was, I don't know. I can't be funny about this. Maybe she's pregnant. Okay. I don't know if she has kids.
I guess maybe that they like kicked her out, or they kicked her off the movie and they're cutting her out of the movie.
That's funny. What was it?
So according to, I think it's Colin Firth that says it. It's been a while since I've listened to the commentary. According to Colin Firth, she wasn't able to make it because she was filming some stupid movie about pirates.
Yeah. Hugh Grant. Oh my God.
So it's kind of a mix. Okay,
yeah,
so
Hugh Grant commented, "We'll never do well." At all.
That's awesome. Okay, so they were making fun, but she actually was doing Pirates. Point
she was doing Pirates of the Caribbean.
All right, yeah. All right.
You have a question, Nick?
Okay, so I actually didn't know this until I started researching something for a pop quiz, looking for something interesting. But
that's
apparently, on Juicer, and that's it's juicer.com, it's spelled J-E-W-C-E-R. It's a Jewish-specific crowdfunding website. It's a Kickstarter or GoFundMe, but specifically for Jewish projects. The director, Jonathan Kesselman, started a crowdfunding project to do a Hebrew Hammer sequel.
Wow.
Now, I'm put this out there. I don't think this was like 2 or 3 years ago that he put this out there, and apparently it was in production. And I was trying to look to see if it's still in production, and I haven't heard anything since about 2013. So I'm guessing it kind of got shelved or something like that. But what do you think it was about?
Like the plot?
Yeah. Or like, okay, so he has to go, I'm trying to think how to put this obviously. He has to go save the world from what?
The Easter Bunny.
Okay.
I'm going to say that Kanye takes over Kwanzaa and they have to save Kwanzaa from itself.
Okay. Dylan?
I'm going to say like a monstrous evil turkey. For Thanksgiving.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
That's another holiday. Now, it's actually called the Hebrew Hammer versus Hitler.
No.
Oh, my God.
Hell yeah. Hitler gets a time. Well, the JJL, which is the Jewish Justice League, creates a time traveling device, and they go back in time to try to kill Hitler so he doesn't kill all the Jews. But then he like captures the person who has it, and then he gets it and he starts trying to rewrite all Jewish history. So they have to send the Hebrew hammer back in time to
destroy Hitler.
And I really, really want it to get made. And it got crowdfunded fine. And I don't know what happened to it, but I at this point don't think it's getting made.
Fingers crossed. That, oh my God, that would be like literally the best thing.
And it's gold. It's gold in their hands.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. 2018 Comedy Central special, ready to go. Okay, so my question is, starting with a bit of trivia, was the Scott Calvin role that Tim Allen played was actually written with Bill Murray in mind. So like, oh, I think Bill Murray would be good at this. And, you know, I don't know if it ever got to his door, but Chevy Chase was actually going to play Scott Calvin. I think he had a scheduling conflict. He couldn't ultimately do it. So Tim Allen did it. It was his first starring role, like in a big movie.
Yeah.
But he was almost not allowed to do the movie. And I'm curious, why do you think that is?
Ooh, I think it's because it's a Disney movie and he has a record. Tim Allen was he was involved with some drugs and such, and Disney was like, maybe that'll look bad. Blah blah blah. We're lame.
Okay.
That's such a good, that's probably it. Oh dear, I don't know. I'm going to go, jeez, I have no idea. He's actually killed a mall Santa. I think it's a little too close to the plot.
Yep.
That's my assumption.
He thought it was a documentary about him. Dylan, what do you think?
Wait, so does Tim Allen actually have a drug problem?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He's been sober for a long time, but yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go with, was the Santa Claus, was that around the same time as Home Improvement?
It was in the middle of it. It was 1994. Yeah. Home Improvement started in 91 and ran for beyond. So it was right in the middle of it.
Okay, so I'm just going to go with it was like a scheduling conflict with Home Improvement.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Casey did have it right.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
Tim Allen has a criminal record, and Disney has, or at the time certainly had, a no hiring of ex-cons policy. So they made an exception for him. And so, yeah, Tim Allen used to mess around with drugs pretty heavy. And in 1978, he was actually arrested for possession of a pound and a half of cocaine.
That's so much.
And he could have been sentenced to life in prison, but he became a state witness. So basically the rat, you know, he gave up a bunch of information about people and avoided that sentence. And now he's someone that we all know and love. So
yeah,
and he's gotten his life
all
together.
All the better for it, for Disney and for him. So.
Yeah, yep. And now he's clean, sober, and got his stuff together. But yeah, for a second there, it was like, oh, we may never have known that dude's name. So luckily, Disney took a chance on a kid.
On greatness.
And we had the best movie ever as a result. So that's going to wrap it up for the first week, you guys. We have pretty solid first round. Yeah. We're going to see if our second movies can usurp our first week's movie. So in our next week episode, we're going to have Elf. Pretty big one. Scrooge, which is a Christmas Carol version, a musicalized version of that. We're going to have Die Hard, which
I hope wins
everything. Yeah. I don't know. Even though it's not my movie, I'm so excited to see Dylan argue very passionately for Die Hard.
Die Hard is life.
That is true. But you guys are all going to be going against just a little tiny movie called It's a Wonderful Life.
My goodness.
So we'll see if y'all can top it. But that's going to be for next week. So again, thank you guys for listening. Please tell your friends. Let us know the movies that you're mad that we left off this list, because there are many.
Use the rubric. Grade them yourself. Yeah, see how they do.
Yeah, maybe your movies don't deserve to be on our list. Use the rubric. Check that out on social media. You can find us at The Brothers Murph on all forms of social media. And for now, I have been a very holly and jolly Michael Lee Murphy.
I'm Nick Murphy.
Casey Brown.
I'm Dylan White.
And we're imploring you to stay festive.
Yeah.
Yay.
Festiveness.